Morning. Good to see you today. We're glad that you're here, and sorry that some are sick and not able to be with us. But we're thankful that you are, and we invite you to get your Bible and join us as we're going to study some from God's Word. I invite you to also, for each one of us, to be sure and careful to examine what God says in light of our own lives, that we might examine our lives and compare them to the Word of God, that we might be right in His sight, and if we're not right, that we might repent of those sins, that we might yield ourselves in humble obedience to Him to receive the mercy that He extends, that He offers, and even as we've sung together, so that Jesus will save you and save each one of us. He alone is the one who can do that, and none other is there salvation. There is no other name given among men wherein we must be saved, only in the name Christ, only by His power, His authority. The great suffering that He went through, as we have remembered in the supper, exalted now with glory and honor at the right hand of God. There were some, according to our reading, that wanted to glory in men's flesh. And so they tried to bind things upon men that God was not binding. They wanted to bind upon the Gentiles circumcision in the flesh, so that they might escape persecution, and so that they might glory in those things that were of the flesh and external. And Paul says that he would only glory in the cross. And we're going to come back to that thought, because our study this morning is that necessity excludes boasting. And you'll see what we mean by that as we go through our study, I hope. Because then hopefully we'll get a better appreciation of what not only what boasting is, but also necessary things that God expects of each one of us. And at the same time, understand and know that when we meet and do those things that are necessary in God's sight, that we have no room to boast, no room to glory. Now, it's a sad reality that we must fight against the sin of pride. 1 John 2 and verse 16 says that the pride of life, or the vainglory of life, is of the world that is passing away. And we can very often trace a wide variety of sins to this fundamental problem of pride. This fundamental problem of exalting self and overestimating the value of ourselves, and being compelled by that, or compelling, being moved by that to then make choices that no longer hold God in honor and reverence, but exalt ourselves. Of course, the world, and many in the world, takes pride in sin. There are many, many people whose objective is to be proud of the sin that they have chosen to live in. We, on the other hand, who seek to follow God and honor Him and follow His Word, take no pride in sin. There's nothing there to boast in, but only to be ashamed of, so that we might, in humility, turn to the only one who can save us from our sins, who is Jesus. The Bible talks about boasting itself as a description of pride. Pride may display itself in boastful, arrogant words and actions. And as we see in Luke, the 18th chapter, if you'll turn with me there, in Luke 18, verses 9 through 12, we see that the idea of pride or boasting is can display itself as a self-assurance, a self-righteous assurance that compares itself with others, that elevates or exalts itself while condemning others or pushing others to the side. In the parable that Jesus spoke, he did so because he said he spoke it to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Note, please, with me, just a kind of a side note. Jesus spoke to people what they needed to hear. Jesus didn't talk to other people about these people who were trusting in themselves. He spoke to them. He spoke to some who were involved in the problem. If there's a problem, we need to speak to the people with the problem to try to help overcome the problem. Jesus did that. And he wasn't afraid to do that, but he did it in a way to try to teach them and bring them out of their sin. So he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Of course, in contrast, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself will be exalted." Note the fundamental problem of verse 9 is that these were people who trusted in themselves. Where there's boasting in self, there is trusting in self rather than trusting in God. Now, we might add, God certainly does not want people to be extortioners and unjust or adulterers. God wants people to honor Him and devote themselves to Him. The Pharisee was doing some good things, but he was trusting in those things and actually trusting himself, because he trusted that he was righteous by doing these things. That constituted his righteousness before God. That he was good and others were bad. And so he elevated himself with his assurance as he exalted himself and he condemned the others. Well, the tax collector knew he was a sinner, and he trusted in God to forgive him, to save him. The Pharisees, these they were trusting in themselves, and the Pharisee illustrating it, trusted that by doing these things it constituted his righteousness. And that's the fundamental issue we're going to explore some today. You see, it's unfortunate that some people conclude that if we obey, that if obedience is essential to salvation, then a person is boasting in his ability to save himself. That charge is leveled at times against us because we say God expects some things of us to be saved. And the allegation or the charge is, well, then you're trying to earn your salvation. You're boasting in what you have done. You're working, you have work salvation, and that's not scriptural. And we would say, of course that's not scriptural. We cannot earn our salvation, nor can we trust in ourselves that we are righteous and have any standing with God, even as the parable is taught. But the allegation is, if you teach that certain things are essential to be obeyed in order to be saved, then you're boasting in yourself. So they conclude that faithful obedience is earning. As one man said, you're striving to be your own Savior. If you think there's some things necessary that you have to do to be saved, then you're earning your salvation and you're trying to be your own Savior. We say, no, you've missed the mark. You missed it badly when you come to that kind of conclusion about obedience, necessity, and salvation. Let's start by defining boast. To boast means to take pride in something. To boast of that which constitutes a source of pride. It means to glory in, to obtain honor, or give honor to something or honor to someone. Now, I want you to note with me at the very beginning that sometimes boasting is good. Boasting per se is not sinful. It's not inherently wrong. You say, what do you mean, Joe? Well, I'll show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 7 and in verse 4, Paul said, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf." So Paul was boasting about the brethren in Corinth. Drop down to chapter 8 and verse 24. "Therefore show to them 8:24. Therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul was directing honor to the brethren in Corinth, telling others of their faithfulness, of their devotion, of their desire to serve and to give, to help the needy saints, particularly is his context. But not only that, that's chapter 8 and verse 7, chapter 7, it was even more broad than that. He said, I glory in you, I boast in you. So, was Paul sinning when he did that? You see, you're going to have to let the context and see the word just means to give honor to something. Right? To glorify something. And on this occasion, he says, you are a source of pride that I have shared with others. And of course, now he's using that to encourage them to continue and to help relieve the needy saints that they had committed themselves to do. What was saying in Thessalonians 1 and in verse 4? Another example of this, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, in verse 4 of the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So Paul said, we're boasting in your faithfulness. We're boasting to the churches. We're giving honor to concerning you about the patient faith that you're exercising. You're facing trials, you're facing tribulations, and you're enduring. And we honor you before and among the churches of God. So if we just say, well, boasting's always wrong, then we have to admit that Paul is sinning when he boasted of the brethren in Corinth or when he boasted of the brethren in Thessalonica. You see, we've made too broad a statement when we say boasting is always evil. Now, it can be evil. It certainly can be sin. James 4 and verse 15 and 16, Paul says, James says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There was evil boasting. Boasting in your arrogance. Boasting that you disregard the brevity of life and the uncertainty of life. You set aside the will of God for your own will and boast in that. You take glory in that. He says that's evil. That's sin. There certainly is boasting that is evil. We just need to know the word we're using so that when we start applying it, then we are on solid biblical ground. So let's talk about boasting in ourselves for a minute. You see, there's two choices, boasting in ourselves or boasting in God concerning our salvation. Now that's what we're talking about, especially now. Giving honor to ourselves or giving honor to God concerning salvation. Let's go to Romans 4, verses 1 through 4, and see this word being used here, as the apostle says that justification by works would allow for boasting. Justification by works would allow a person to boast if we're justified by works. Now, understand his definition of works. His definition of works is going to have to be that you always keep law. It's not the idea of merely obeying. It's the idea that you never sin. You never sin. Now see this with me. Chapter 4 and verse 1 of Romans. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? I'm going to use Abraham to illustrate his point. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Now, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It didn't say Abraham worked, and his works were accounted to him for righteousness. His faith, he believed, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness. Does works mean obedience or something more than that? Well, in his context, he's talking about not sinning. Because the next verse says, to him who works, the wages are not counted as of grace, but as debt. Now, how's the only way that a reward could be owed you by God? A debt. Or is it if you earned it? And how could you earn the right to stand before God? Well, never sin. Then you wouldn't need grace. Never sin. Was Abraham justified because he never sinned? He says no. Verse 5 goes on to say, but to him who does not work, that is, the one who's not perfectly sinless, the one who in fact is counted among the sinners, and that's all of us, chapter 3, see his context is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you didn't sin, you wouldn't sin. You wouldn't fall short of the glory of God. You would stand on a par with the glory of God. And then it would be a debt owed you. But the one that does not work is not sinlessly perfect, but has sinned. To him who believes on him who justifies the ungodly. See, the one who does not work, he's the ungodly. It means he sinned. His faith is accounted for righteousness. So we could boast in ourselves if we never sinned. See, that's the point. Abraham had to have been sinless to boast, to glory in himself, to honor himself. But Abraham was a sinner. Chapter 3 and verse 20. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The article is supplied there. It simply says, by the deeds of law, no flesh will be justified. Why is it that by the deeds of law, by the works of law, no one will be justified? Because all have sinned. Because when you violate law, you're a transgressor of the law. You're a sinner. And so, law won't save you. Law condemns. Law shows your sin. Law shows you're a sinner. It's not going to justify you. That's his point. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? Where is the glory? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But he says by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of law, apart from being sinless. We've sinned, we've violated law. The only way we could boast in ourselves, trust in ourselves that we are righteous, like the Pharisee of Luke 18, here was his problem. He began to think that there wasn't any sin to deal with. The only way you could legitimately boast in yourself as being justified by works is to be sinless. But because we've sinned, because Abraham, illustrating it to us, he had no standing to boast. He had no standing to boast. And neither do we. We're sinners too. He said, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. Sinlessness. Lest any man should boast. There's our word. Lest any man should boast. If I didn't sin, I could boast. I could glory before the presence of God. But I can't because I'm a sinner. The fundamental problem with those who say that obedience is earning salvation is they misdefine obedience. They're saying obedience equates to the works of this context. And that's not the context. What was that verse Aaron read for us this morning? Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. If he gives salvation to those who obey him, then obedience cannot be equated to justification by works. Or you have the Word of God contradicting itself. Jesus saves those who obey by His grace, through our faith, but not by our sinlessness. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. speaks of the same point and explains, elaborates it for us. It says, when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. See, the Pharisee had forgotten the love of God and the kindness of God. He trusted in himself. Well, if someone never sins, why would he need the love of God? Why would he need God's kindness and grace? He has no sin. It'd be of works. He could stand before God in glory. But God has shown us kindness and love, not by works of righteousness which we have done, you see, but according to His mercy He saved us. It was the mercy of God that the tax collector pleaded for. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, it's the acknowledgement of sin and the need of God's mercy, not by works of righteousness that earn us, that we have done, does He save us, you see. But now watch it, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. So, when we're baptized, we obtain God's mercy, and it is not a work of righteousness that we have done to earn it. At Titus 3, 4 and 5 explains it if we're willing to see it. There's obedience that does not earn but obtains mercy by grace through faith. And there's no boasting. No boasting in ourselves. Instead, we boast in Christ. Now this is Galatians 6, 14. Look, our sin eliminates boasting in ourselves and prompts boasting only in Jesus Christ and only in His gospel. Paul said, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that Galatians 6 and 14? Let's read it. It says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says, I will honor the cross. I will boast in the cross. There wasn't any sin there in that boasting. He said, I will glory in the cross, but not in myself, not in others, you see. But does that mean that Paul, that obedience had nothing to do with obtaining His mercy, obtaining the blessings of the cross? Well, we just read Titus 3:5 that it does. The washing of regeneration, cleansing that occurs when we're baptized, but more on that in just a minute. We boast in Christ, not in ourselves. Here's the principle. We're going to make the applications here in a few specifics. Here's the principle. Necessity excludes boasting. And because God has expected some things of us, He has commanded some things of us, some things that we must do to be saved. But because they are necessary, by definition, they exclude boasting. That is, they exclude the idea of earning the right to be saved. And we need to understand that, is that while it is right in one sense to say baptism saves us, because it does, 1 Peter 3:21. It's another to be right to say not by the works of righteousness that we have done. Baptism doesn't earn anything because we're already sinners. It's cleansing the sinner of his sins. Doesn't merit anything. It trusts in God. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression of our trust in God to save us according to His love and kindness in His Son. But here's the principle. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Paul, really, he uses this principle, makes an application, and it becomes a springboard for us to try to teach people who say, you don't have to be baptized to be saved, for example. Or, if you think you've got to obey to be saved, then you're a works-oriented salvation. We want to try to answer that idea here by looking first at the principle. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. If I preach the gospel, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. See, I have nothing to glory in. I have nothing to take any honor upon myself about. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. So Paul said the very reason that I have nothing to boast about is because necessity has been laid upon me. It is necessary for me to preach the gospel. Consequently, I have nothing to boast about. God required him to preach, and that excluded any boasting on his part. See that? That's not hard to understand. You know, I say all that stuff about justification by works and obedience, and that just confuses me. Well, this is easy to understand. Easy to understand. Paul says, because God has required that I preach, I have no room to boast. When God requires something of us, we have no room to boast when we do it. No taking honor to ourselves, no earning the right, no trying to be our own Savior. Because necessity has been laid upon us by God. You see, necessity excluded his boasting. Now let's make that application to the plan of salvation. Necessity is laid on sinners to believe in order to be saved. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life is offered to those who would believe. They have the right to become children of God. They should not perish. They should obtain eternal life because, you see, faith is necessary for salvation. Jesus would later say in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Here in John 8:24. So it's necessary. You have to believe that Jesus is from above or you will die in your sin. Now, chapter 6, 27 through 29, Jesus said, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Therefore they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. So Jesus requires a work called believe. When asked, what shall we do to work the works, to do the works of God? Jesus said, believe. He said, this is the work of God, believe. Now, some distort that and say, well, there it is, God's working. He's giving you the power to believe. You can't even believe until God works on you. That's not what He's saying. He's answering their question. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to believe. As He said it later, except you do it, you're going to die. Faith is necessary. Belief in Jesus as the Son of God is necessary. Saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, you and your house, and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your house. No question about it. Faith is necessary. Belief in Jesus is necessary for salvation. But necessity excludes boasting. That's the principle. When God says something's required and we do it, we have no room to boast. It's excluded. Therefore, sinners who believe cannot boast of saving themselves. A believer, when someone believes, when the Philippian jailer in his house had believed in God, we're going to see what all that entailed momentarily. You know it entailed their repentance. You know it entailed their baptism. But you see, when we're saved by faith, by grace through faith, we have no room to boast. That's the application of Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The salvation is God's gift. You didn't earn it. It's not of works. It's not because you're sinless. It's not because of righteousness you have done, lest anyone should boast. God requires belief, but when you believe, you can't boast. You haven't earned anything.
Now watch it. The faith-only people say, that's right, preach it on. That's the truth of the matter. You believe, you can't boast, because we can't earn our salvation. I agree with them to that point. But let's go on a little further and see if they'll keep agreeing with the Scripture. Necessity is laid on sinners to repent to be saved. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 5:32. He calls sinners to repent. He said, except you repent, you will all in like manner perish. Now watch this one. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands everyone to repent. That means we have to obey God and God's commandment to repent of our sins. Necessity is laid upon us. We must repent to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. God would have all men to be saved. God is not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to come to repentance, to obey the commandment, lest we perish, because He is calling us to repent. Anybody doubt we have to repent to be saved? No doubt. It's necessary for salvation. But the principle is necessity excludes boasting. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I do not do what God is commanding. Whether it's preach, 1 Corinthians 9, whether it's believe, John 8:24, or whether it's repent, Acts 17:30. Woe is unto me if I do not do what God has said is necessary for me to do. But when I do it, I have not earned anything. You see, sinners who repent cannot boast of saving themselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? Because you've just done what commanded you. You've done what God has commanded. And it's the same as faith. You got to believe to be saved, and you don't earn anything. You've got to repent to be saved. And when you do, you haven't earned anything. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't boast when we repent and hold ourselves and say, well, it's because of my works that I'm saved. No, you're a sinner. Your works can't save you. But you rely upon God by obeying Him in faith. Be merciful to me. Well, God says, who's He going to be merciful to? He's going to be merciful to those who repent. Those who obey Him and repent. Obtain His mercy. Thirdly, necessity is laid on sinners to confess faith to be saved. If you believe, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You will be saved if. That means there's something necessary here to be saved. You will be saved if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him. We talked about faith. Faith in Jesus is belief that God raised Him from the dead. But now it's just as necessary to confess your faith. With the mouth, confession is made in order to obtain salvation. What's hindering me from being baptized? The man asked Philip. And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed what he believed. It was necessary for him to do that. Thereby acknowledging his faith, he showed that he was ready to be baptized. But by confessing his faith, he didn't have anything to boast in because it was necessary for him to do that. Sinners who confess their faith cannot boast of saving themselves any more than the one who believes can boast in saving themselves. Because necessity is laid upon us. God expects you. God says it's necessary for you to confess your faith. And when you do that, you haven't earned anything. You haven't merited anything. You've simply done what is necessary. You have no room to boast. Because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You can't boast before God. Sin brings shame to not even raise the head before God and say, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And God says, "I'll be merciful. I want to be merciful to you. I'll show you mercy. But you've got to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that I raised Him from the dead." And when you do that, you haven't earned anything. But you have obeyed God. You've been obedient. Look at this now. Necessity is laid on sinners to be baptized, to be saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. You want to get into Christ, you're baptized into Him. You put Him on, how? By being baptized into Him. Baptism now saves us. 1 Peter 3:21. As the appeal of a good conscience toward God. God commands water baptism for salvation. Just as surely as He commands faith and repentance and the confession of faith, it is necessary for salvation because God commands it. But you see, necessity excludes boasting. It's not works salvation to be baptized. It's not earning anything to be baptized because necessity excludes boasting in ourselves. Boasting in what we have done. There's no room for boasting there. We can't say we saved ourselves when we obey His commandment to be baptized, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting in faith. There's no boasting in repentance. There's no boasting in confessing our faith. There's no boasting in being baptized. We don't bring any honor to ourselves, any glory to ourselves. All the glory is given to God. He's the one who has the mercy and the grace. He's the one who calls us to it. To have faith in Him, that when we obey Him, He shows us that mercy and gives us that grace and saves us from our sin. Necessity excludes boasting. And that's why the faith-only doctrine is error. Because it shifts the definitions and says, now when you do something God says is necessary, now you're trying to boast. No, we're not. Not any more than when we believe, when we repent, when we confess our faith. We're simply doing what's necessary. And when we do what's necessary, there is no room to boast. Necessity is laid on Christians to remain faithful, to be saved eternally. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required that a steward is faithful. We are stewards of the good gifts of God. God requires our faithfulness. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. It's possible for Christians to be severed from Christ and fall from grace. Galatians 5:4. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto or even to the point of death. Remain faithful even to the giving up of your life. God expects. God says it is necessary for us to be faithful once we have been baptized in Christ, faithful to Jesus, it's necessary for salvation. But that excludes boasting too. You see, when we're faithful to Jesus as Christians, we have no room to boast as if we saved ourselves. Being faithful doesn't mean we're saving ourselves. We're glorying in God. We're following the will of God. Let me make this one other application just to see the point. You can make this application for any other thing that God expects of us. If any provides not for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Necessity is laid on us, for example, to provide for our families. If we don't provide for our own, he says, we're worse than an unbeliever. So, he said in another place, he that will not work, neither let him eat. So when we work and when we eat and when we provide for our families, that's a necessary function. God expects that of us. necessity is laid upon us to do that. So when we do it, we don't have any room to boast about doing it. Necessity excludes boasting. We can't come along and say, well, look how a great God going to save me by my righteousness because I provide for my family. Look what the good work that I've done. That earns me salvation. No, it doesn't. You've just done what's expected of you. Necessity excludes boasting. That's the principle. Necessity. When God expects it and we obey it, we have no room to boast. And that's what we need to tell people and teach people and show people in Scripture about how to be saved and how to remain faithful to the Lord in our lives. You see, it really is the fulfillment of what Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 10. You also, when you have done all that is commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable or unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Unprofitable. We didn't earn anything. When we've done everything God commands, it was necessary for us to do that. He is the Master. We're His servants. And so when we do what He commands us, we are unprofitable, we're unworthy. We don't lift our eyes up to heaven. We say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've only done my duty. You see, necessity excludes boasting. Let us only and always boast in the cross of Jesus. Never in ourselves. Never even in the fact that we have been obedient. We don't glory in the sense of bringing honor to ourselves and saying because of our obedience, then we've earned the right to stand before God. We've never earned that right. We obtain that right through His grace. But it's by our faith that we have access to that grace. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And so, obedience is necessary. And because our obedience is necessary, it excludes boasting. And it gives all the glory to God. If you're not a Christian, we urge you to become one this morning. In faith, repent of your sin. Confess your faith and be baptized. These are necessary things so that God may save you by His grace. You live by faith. This is the faith that will be counted to you for righteousness when you will do what is necessary and give the glory to God. Won't you come while together we stand and we sing?
Jesus, all and tender, be upon your earth.